At this point, they also reveal that neither Goku or Frieza were like going full power this whole time. They're just fucking with each other. Mm-hmm. And as a viewer, I'm like, that's disrespectful to me, man. You know what I mean? Like, don't spend half a season on like the most epic battles I've seen and be like, just kidding. We're just fucking around.
You felt disrespected. You didn't feel even an ounce of, oh shit. You want to do the clippy clap?
Oh yeah,
clippy clap. New clip clapper.
I'm not even gonna change this. We're still talking about sexy wolves. Ready?
Yeah. Holy fuck!
You all right there?
Yeah.
You okay, bud?
This is the episode I've been waiting for.
This is the episode you've been waiting for?
Well, no, but this for Dragon Ball, this is the one that I've been waiting for.
So are we done then?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, guys, yeah. Welcome back to Animation Anime, where we try to convince our cynical and
say
skeptical
all the bad words you want about me. Go ahead. List them off.
Friend here, Jory, to like anime just as much as we do.
Yeah.
I'm Mikey Lee.
Jay Beckett.
I'm Jordy Hederwick.
Yeah. And this is part three of DBZ, Dragon Ball Z. And again, spoiler alert, we're going to spoil the fuck out of everything.
Everything.
And if you're wondering why we're doing this with Dragon Ball and not all the other shows that have stuff beyond what we've covered, this is a legend.
This is, yeah.
No two ways about it.
Yeah.
It's a fucking legend.
Well, we discussed it in the first episode that, like, every human being knows what Dragon Ball Z is and has an image in their mind attached to it.
Yeah, this is like a household name now.
It is, for real.
Right? Like,
whether you're a weeb or not.
Yeah. You know, it's just so ingrained in like pop culture. And I mean, like, when I was a kid, I have legitimately tried to throw a Kamehameha.
I wish I had video footage of that.
I have legitimately tried. I would meditate for days.
Yeah.
I'm talking days. Yeah.
Get onto our TikTok at Animation Anime, and we're going to have Mikey recreate that attempt from his childhood.
I think we should all three of us try to go Super Saiyan.
There's another video online where I thought this guy was actually going to go Super Saiyan. You know,
Jaden?
I think that's the one.
The kid, the classic famous kid who goes Super Saiyan?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys all know Jaden. He goes Super Saiyan. You guys have all seen that video.
Yeah.
The kid is screaming like at the top of his lungs.
Yeah.
But he takes off his shirt and everything.
Yeah. I did the same thing when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you first see Goku go Super, like it is a banger.
It's an electrifying moment.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yeah.
Right?
But
I mean, we'll get to it.
I don't like that.
I don't like how
that's
you're
so
speaking.
Foreboding.
Yeah, this is the one where like you shut your mouth. Well, I guess you can't.
Okay, bye then. have fun talking about this show by yourselves.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a good description because it's the same Dragon Ball Z as I've seen two seasons in a row now. There's no fun, new, interesting way I can explain it. I will say that there's like, it's definitely got a bit of a new and improved vibe this season, more so than last season. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
No,
I'm noticing subtle differences now.
This season's like the big season. Like
this season also is just one big fight scene. The whole season.
Yeah.
Like there's very very little else going on.
Yeah.
So I mean, again, the way that the seasons are chopped up, I don't know who actually put the stamp on this is season three, this is season two, whatever.
No.
It ends up working for our purposes as far as doing it this show. But
growing up as a kid, like everything that happens on Namek, like in my brain, that was all one season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's one arc of the story, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know if we'll continue necessarily doing every single season because there are some kind of goofy in-between ones that are kind of a waste of time.
Okay.
We'll see. But the interesting thing is, like, you're seeing this development happen slowly over time. The shows were airing concurrently, so there was no break between seasons, right? So, like, last season, you know, ends with episode 74, Ginyu turns into the frog or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That aired on January 16th. On January 23rd, a week later,
the next
episode, which is technically season or episode one of season three. So this ran concurrent.
Yeah.
So you're seeing this slow development happen as opposed to like a big jump between seasons.
It's funny because in a Western market, shows never do that. It's always season by season.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, like a lot of shonen is like that, serialized shonen. Like, I mean, Black Clover like ended a while ago, but it was the same thing. It was just every week. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another one that I will probably have to do eventually. But that being said, this season is the season that had fucking, this is like the transformations, the power ups,
development of the biggest rivalry probably in all of Dragon Ball.
Yeah, and like it comes back. I don't know how many times. Well, actually, I do know exactly
don't
how many times.
Don't spoil it for Jordy. But, yeah. Don't spoil it for Jordy.
Yeah, I know. Okay. All
right. He thinks it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. It's over.
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No. This. Yeah. It's a massive rivalry. Obviously, Goku and Frieza. It's the tale as old as time.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe rivaled only by like Goku and Vegeta and their little, you know, back and forth thing, which obviously develops and continues through this season.
For sure,
as well.
It does. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Definitely. It's awesome. Different, though. It's not good guy, bad guy with them. It's kind of like same, right? They're kind of like brothers in arms a little bit.
Both chasing what they think their destiny is.
Yeah. Right? No, it's the quintessential, you have to have a rival trope.
Yeah.
In
I
a
feel
shonen,
like they're
right?
never not going to have to team up to fight a bad guy. I feel like that's every season.
Yeah. They well, do mix it up. There's one particular season where they really throw a wrench into that usual routine system.
Yeah.
We'll obviously get there.
Yeah.
People who know probably know exactly what I'm talking about.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't.
No, you don't.
Yeah. I have no idea.
They'll see. Okay. Anyways.
Do we have any Senpai's Corner for this season at all?
Not really.
I mean, we already covered it all, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to give you more history on Dragon Ball. We've done it. And yeah, I'd rather just kind of get into the.
Get into the meat of the show.
Potatoes.
Okay. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
But I'm glad that you finally suffered through the one big battle where like he's powering up for like 3-4 episodes straight.
Yeah, there was a lot of that going on.
Yeah, because it's true though that like again we have to address that. Like that's a big part of this.
Well, the thing is power up or not, there's a lot of times where characters are just sitting around waiting for their time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So like.
A lot of posturing.
A lot of waiting, thinking, talking.
The bravado is real.
There's a lot of that. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's, I guess we'll talk about World Up Top like we always do, and we're still on Namek.
Yep.
And it's same old Namek, except it's like falling apart as the season goes on.
They're destroying it.
They're tearing it down to shit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Literally killing the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After they already killed everyone that was on it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess after that, we talk about art.
Yeah,
we're breezing through this episode, guys.
Yeah.
So one thing I noticed about art, you already kind of touched up on, is the bigger power-ups animations. Yeah. Like the way they power up, they always were powering up for moves in the other two seasons. This time it's much bigger and more epic, right? And so the way I kind of was thinking of it in my head, I'm like, this is where I'm seeing the DBZ of lore from my childhood.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch DBZ, but I knew about it, and this is what I thought it was. So when we did season one and season two, I'm like, this is what everyone was always talking about?
Yeah.
Now this is what everyone was always talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already kind of with the Great Apes, but like really introducing this idea of like transformation.
Yeah.
And like different forms.
For sure.
Really comes through big time in this one.
I would say very heavy-handedly.
Yes.
Yes.
But we'll get to that in a bit.
But it's like, we will get to that. I just like dumping ahead.
We're talking about art. Yeah. So another thing I'll mention about art is we talked in the first season and a little in the second season about how everything is very simple lines and one colors. Mm-hmm. We're getting a lot more texture on things now. It's not just an outline and a color in the middle. Mm-hmm. There's like more texture. Mm-hmm. Not quite this level texture.
Yeah, on the screen right now.
It's
a little
fan arty, but like definitely a little more is going on in what we're looking at.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it was like I was saying how, you know, that transition out of Dragon Ball into Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? The end goal is to get into a much more mature, adult-oriented show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had to do that in a way that still made sense and still tied it in with Dragon Ball. So season one and two.
They blend.
Yeah.
Goofy, but like getting more edgy and a little more edgelord seriousness. Yeah, sure, you know what I mean? And now in this one, you're like, they got blood and everybody's dirty as fuck.
There are some intense moments in this, dude. Like, some grittiness.
It's aging up for sure, big time.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's the thing with this show. Excuse me. It's you have to age it up with your fans.
Yeah.
Right, because we're watching it as it's coming out. You have to.
Well, and it's a long haul show, right? Like, you don't expect new people to come in halfway through, and like be enjoying it the same way. Like, it's different, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Another art thing, I'm not sure if this counts as art, but I'm going to bring it up here anyway. Something I noticed about the fight scenes is they're trying to show you now higher power moves, more effective, more powerful moves as they go on. And the way they're doing it without murdering everyone is they're all deflecting now. So, like, someone, like, Frieza, like, blew up a fucking island because Vegeta pushed Gohan out of the way. So no one had to die for that move to be shown as powerful as it was supposed to be.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Another one, Vegeta does some crazy attack, and it gets deflected, like, into space. And so the massive explosion happens. You see the scale of it, but no one had to die for it. So,
right. Yeah.
So they're showing the power of these moves without killing characters, which otherwise they would happen.
Super strategic.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'd be questioning, like, why so powerful? Like, why is that not more powerful? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It is a little strange in that way because some of those powerful moves do hit.
Yeah.
Right? And, yeah, the deflection is a big one.
Yeah.
Or, like, it'll just knock them out for, like, a good chunk of time so that the other characters can have their time.
And that's what bothers me is when they do that, I'm like, that should have killed everyone in the vicinity. Mm-hmm. If the move is as powerful as you say, come on.
Yeah. Power scaling is something that people always get hung up on with Dragon Ball is like, okay, well, you said this person was this powerful and they could do this, but then this person comes along, they're more powerful, but they can only do this? What the fuck is...
Well, here's the thing.
You're thinking in terms of like, well, this guy can make rocks float when he powers up and this guy can blow up a little island when he shoots a ball, and you're trying to figure out like, okay, so who's actually stronger here?
Well, when they make the show, they're not doing the math, but when you're watching the show, you're trying to do the math.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the unfortunate part, is when they're making the show, like, you have the responsibility to do the math.
100%.
Yes. And they didn't. It's true. And especially for a show like this, where it's all about fighting the next big bad.
Yeah.
Right? And it's all about like, hey, you know, I can't remember, but like, I think it's like when, was it this season where they find out every time a Saiyan gets beat up, they get come back stronger?
I think you find that in the last season, but in this season, they use it as a main plot point.
Okay,
time. Yeah.
So that's the other thing too, right? So sometimes there's points where like, just beat me up and so I can come back stronger, right? Yeah,
that's a big part of the season.
So that's another one.
Not to mention, but their power levels are like one thing when they're hanging around, and then they start powering up and their power level goes up. I'm like, how are we keeping track of what your power level's at if you're constantly either powering up or just standing around? Yeah. Like,
well, this is, I think, a classic example of, you know, a shonen meant for younger kids who aren't really into doing the math.
Yeah.
Right? And like as adults or young adults that we know, right? Because there's inconsistencies that we just naturally pick up on.
Yeah.
But as a kid watching this, you're not doing math. You don't care. You just want to see
math. That's why you're watching Dragon Ball Z, because you're not in school right now.
Yeah. You know? And so it's like, it's that one of those accepted moments.
Yeah.
Accept it and move on and just enjoy the fucking ride, the crazy ride that it is.
It's going to fall into the realm of me sounding like a broken record when I say this, but like, it's not a show to come to as a grown-ass man with grown-ass man problems. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It makes it really hard for me to digest in the way that makes it effective and enjoyable.
Yeah, see, this is my problem with this. Okay, let me tell you something.
Yeah, please
right? You guys
talk. I want to hear what you want to say. Okay, please do get into it.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. You can be a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
I am a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can still go back, watch this specific season, enjoy it, or I can watch the Kai version, which is a little bit more condensed and leaner, and still really enjoy it.
But when did you digest it first?
Well, as a kid.
And what impact does that nostalgia have on your enjoyment now?
Well, so you're telling me at the end of... No, okay, what I'm saying here is that you've lost this, your childhood, your youthfulness.
No, because I can go back and watch things that I enjoyed as a kid and enjoy them now with that nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
But this is not doing it for me, not having the nostalgia factor.
You don't need it. Come in!
I feel like you're powering up right now, actually. Yeah, I feel like you are.
No, I mean, I get it, Jordy. I just I feel mostly just sad. You know, I can't my brain can't, and this is why I'm not backing you up as much as I want to be right now, because like I can't fathom not having nostalgia for this show. Like I can't my brain can't comprehend not having so much familiarity and love for this show and these characters. It's just my whole fucking life.
Yeah.
My whole life. As far as back as I can remember.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what though? Okay. I'm going to direct this question to you, but like when we watch Super, right? Like that's still current.
Yeah. And it's all the same characters, though.
Yes, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, as something current, do you not still feel like it's new and fresh, even though...
It still feels like same old Dragon Ball.
And also, you're invested in the franchise from early on. Yeah. You're invested because of how much it hit you hard when you were a kid.
Super was different in name, but if they literally just called Super Z and just said, all right, we're just going to keep on going with
it's still Z,
I wouldn't have batted an eyelash.
Yeah, that's also... fair.
To put it into perspective, dude. To put it into perspective, and we've had this conversation off mic a bunch of times, but we all know that I'm a Star Wars fan, and I'm a self-proclaimed Star Wars apologist. I love all things Star Wars. Even Episode One is not that bad. Sorry,
Jar Jar. So,
Jar Jar is a piece of shit. But the movies as a whole and the storytelling, I enjoy them thoroughly. But it's because of that nostalgia from my childhood.
Sure. Okay.
If you today sat me down and said, "Here's a movie. It's called Star Wars Episode One. Tell me what you think about it," without having any knowledge of Star Wars previously, I'm probably gonna tell you this is the worst movie I've ever seen. They did a piss poor job making this movie. Do you know what I mean?
When they introduced midichlorian counts.
But that's what I'm saying is like your preconceived notion of it from when you were a kid weighs heavily on your enjoyment now.
Yep.
And that's the weeds we'll get stuck into for today. Thank you.
No, it's the fact that I believe I can one day power up.
I would love to see that.
I would too. I've been waiting my entire life to do it.
You can make it happen.
I still continue to try.
You can make it happen. Okay. Let's get kind of back on track. We talked about art. We're going to talk about music now.
Yeah.
It's just another element of the show that has leveled up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's another element of the show that makes me feel, like I said, that I'm watching the Dragon Ball Z of lore from my childhood.
Yeah. Yeah, it's way more dynamic.
It's the whole show is finding its footing in this season, I would say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a big like moment for the show's like general identity.
Yeah.
From here on out. Yeah. This season really sets the tone.
And we were, I think this was an off-mic conversation we were having as well, too, but we were talking about how shows these days don't have like actual people playing instruments as their score or soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's a lot of bedroom producers, digital music, things like that,
mm-hmm.
sampling. This is like a full-on symphony with a drummer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's the whole soundtrack to this show.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Like, it's like with these old shows and like old, like 90s anime and stuff like that, there's just so much more. Grittiness and kind of realist or like artistic. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but like.
I hear what you're saying. It's more of like a hands made this versus like computer coding made this.
I feel like more soul in some of it. Cause like we just did, what was it? Wolf Children, for example, right? The animation's beautiful, but comparatively to like Ghost in the Shell, right? Like you're talking about people who have like dedicated months of seeing what bullets look like hitting a wall and how that sounds, you know, as opposed to making just a pretty story.
Yeah. Right? Well, to be fair, no one spent months of their time figuring out how energy projectiles actually fly in real life to make this animation. That didn't factor in, but I get what you're saying.
But yeah, it's the soul that I feel like is
there's thoughtfulness in the thinking of what it should look like in the drawing of it. I actually don't know if that applies as much to this show. Yeah. To be honest with you, dude, it's a little kind of just...
No. Okay, yes, but I mean, I'm talking about the soul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
The soul.
The soul.
It's here.
Yeah. Okay.
Not back to Soul Eater.
That was day one for us. That's a special one for me in my heart forever because of you guys. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Do you guys want to talk about some characters?
I'd love to.
I don't know if we're going to get into all of them because there's a lot of characters in Dragon Ball Z. That's another thing worth noting. There's a lot of fucking people with names I'm supposed to remember.
Yeah. But like, a lot of them are a lot of them are important and a lot of them aren't.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the main ones. Like, let's go with the... I feel like there's like five main.
There's
ones
a handful
that, right,
I got notes on
season.
Here. Well, let's talk about Vegeta up top because he's a big guy, big important guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
His anti-hero like characteristic that he has is really cemented in this season because he's really not on the team of the bad guys at all in this season.
No.
He's all team Goku and friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's weird about it.
He's team I hate Frieza.
Yeah,
which
that's true.
Aligns him with Goku.
Yeah,
and
they're
the
forced
rest.
To team up. Yeah, exactly.
The enemy, is
yeah.
my friend.
Yeah,
I was like. Just about to say that.
And you find out a bit more in this season about his backstory with Frieza and why he's team I hate Frieza, which we'll get into in the plot, but it's pretty intense.
Yeah,
it gets intense.
When you really think about it,
Okay, let's talk about another character, which is very controversial between us specifically. We're going to talk about Bulma.
Bulma!
Who is still the fucking worst.
Senpai's waifu.
Dude, she's the goddamn worst.
Senpai.
Yeah, she's a mess.
She survives a dinosaur rampage in this season.
Yeah.
She has this weird little side story with the Ginyu frog, which is just fucking bizarre. At one point, she is Ginyu.
it's levity.
Man. Yeah. These are like, this is, I feel like, the teen years of Bulma. Because you had like kind of kid years, preteen years in Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
This is where you're getting into the teen years of Bulma, where she's like smart, but not so smart and bright at times.
I don't think she's that smart at all.
Well, she's,
from what I've seen of her.
Yeah, but later on, like, I mean, with Capsule Corps and all that stuff.
Her personality is definitely more aligned with, I say, like a teenager. I think she is in her 20s because she's actually older than Goku, and Goku's in his 20s by this point.
Okay.
But like personality-wise and like her ability to handle stressful situations, she's like a fucking 16-year-old girl.
Just everything about her grates on my nerves, dude. Just the way she reacts to every situation she's in, it like hurts me to the core. Yeah. It's so hard to watch for me.
Just look up Rule 34 of Bulma.
I'm not going to do that, man. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, OG Bunny Girl, man.
I'm sure that's the case, but like not for me. I'm not interested. No, I mean,
you know, she's bringing some like levity and some comic relief, obviously, and she's where they go to make things be a little silly, and she's definitely a tropey character at this stage in the game.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think I said it before as well, that like some things happen with Bulma's character moving forward where like her role in the story definitely changes.
I would love for that to happen.
But for now, it is very much cemented, and like that's what she does, and that's what she's there for.
It just grates on my nerves to such a deep level, dude.
Yeah. Some people like it, though.
Yeah. She's either like super helpless and like crying and whining, or like very confused and not sure what's going on, or like super angry at people for not doing anything wrong.
Does that not make her like kind of the most realistic character in the whole show?
For a teenage girl? Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, yeah. She's giving you that real-life reaction of, like, somebody plopped into the middle
of
this.
But here's the not-realistic part about her being that, is that she'd be dead in this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're talking real life. But she's not surviving any of this.
You can't kill her.
No.
Apparently not.
No. But, like, even if you think about it, like, if it, her actual age is early 20s, you're still kind of coming out of your teens and you haven't really figured things out yet.
That's why I said that her personality, the way she's acting, is very teenage-like. But yeah, I know. I just know because she's older than Goku, and Goku's in his 20s.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, so, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on and talk about Frieza.
Okay, so I want to know, how did you feel about the different forms?
There's too many, first of all.
What? Yeah. There's
15 in this one season alone. Like, maybe I'm exaggerating, but like 6, 7, maybe even 8.
No.
Transformations.
No, there's not.
There's absolutely
There's a lot.
We can go through if you want one by one, but there is at most 5.
Yeah.
That's still a lot. Because some of them didn't even look that different. It didn't feel any more powerful than the others.
Between 4 and 5 is just him and then him fully powered.
Yeah. Sometimes they're just the same, but a little bit bigger.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So I think, like, there's definitely the variations in between the 3 forms that I think he really takes, right? So there's his original form where he's all kind of, like, in his little floating, like, pod.
Yeah.
And then there's the one where he's, like, big and bulky.
Yeah.
And then there's his final form, which is...
Now, there's also the long head.
The alien
version.
There's just too many, man. And especially when they're not that different, I'm like, just skip that one. It'd be more impactful if you just gave me the big ones that shocked me, that made them look different.
Mm-hmm. I thought they were all significantly shocking and different. Like, I thought coming out of his little pod and his, like, little horned form.
Yeah.
And then, from there, does he go to the alien long head, or does he go to the taller version of himself?
I don't know, dude.
Either way.
So there were too many for me to remember which one was which.
Those all felt different enough. And actually, the one that felt maybe similar to his original form, but just, like, sized up.
Yeah.
That, I don't know if it's a nod, but there's a reason that he kind of looks like that. I don't know. Did you ever meet his dad at any point in any of this?
No, I don't think they mentioned his dad.
Spoiler alert. He's got a dad.
He's got a dad.
And that form looks a hell of a lot like his dad.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But then I thought what was really interesting was that coming out of, like, the alien long head form to his final form.
Yeah. Yes.
You're expecting maybe something bigger and more monstrous and more terrifying.
You don't get that.
You don't get that. They go the opposite direction.
You get a veiny little Mewtwo with the terrifying feet.
They go sleek.
Yeah.
They go refined.
Yeah.
They go, like, in a way, like, it did feel perfected at that point. Like, they got rid of the fluff. They got down to, like, the meat, perfection of it.
I'm okay with that, yeah, because then they're kind of implying, too, like, he's no longer fighting with brawn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Or gimmicks.
Yeah.
Or gimmicks, It's just pure, like...
It's his true form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we talk about his feet for a second, though?
Yeah.
Why do they look like that?
Because he's an alien.
They're disturbing.
Yeah. He has just got three little feet or 3 little toes.
Yeah, like
3 toed
like
monkey foot.
Yeah. He's like a deformed chicken foot.
Kind of, yeah.
I didn't like it.
That's okay.
It bothered me.
Why?
I can't explain to you why.
It just made you uncomfortable?
It made me uncomfortable.
Then I think it's effective because he's an alien and he's supposed to kind of be off-putting.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
And he's supposed to be a bit scary, right? He's the big bad in this.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't like it.
It didn't make me scared, though. It just made me kind of like feel icky.
I like that.
Okay. I'm going to bring you like cooked chicken feet.
I've had cooked chicken feet. They also made me feel icky.
I feel icky.
He also, speaking of icky, he also has a projectile tail weapon in his final form.
Yeah.
And I'm like, obviously I'm disgusting. So my thought immediately goes to, there's hentai of this. There's rule 34 of his tail.
There definitely is. There's a rule 34 of everything.
I know. That one specifically
the
feels
like Dragon Ball stuff gets much worse than that, I assure you.
Oh, good.
Goody.
Okay, let's talk about
Shreves. If you want to see an episode of Jordy,
nobody wants to see that
going through all of that. Let us know in the comments.
That's for Patreon if we ever have one, or OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about Little Dende.
Little Dende.
Who, last season, you were like, whatever.
Yeah, I knew that they were... I could tell they were going to make him someone important.
Yeah.
That's obvious.
Yeah.
And in this season, of course, he has healing powers.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. Because you need to have someone with healing powers.
Yep.
They're constantly writing in ways to keep people from dying.
Yes.
That's like, I feel like, probably like sitting above the writer's room board. Figure out ways to make people not die.
Keep them alive. Yeah. So here's the thing, though, with that. Because the big joke is, you know, they call Shinran and then it's like, oh, you need me to bring back Krillin. Right? Like,
yeah.
That's the ongoing joke. So you don't know that.
What?
So, like, in the community, it's like, oh, anytime somebody dies, it's usually Krillin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's the thing. There's no matter who dies in Shonen, in Dragon Ball, they can always bring them back no matter what.
As of now, as far as I'm concerned, having only watched to season 3, they haven't written in a way that they can bring Krillin back yet. Because he's already died and been wished back, and now he's dead again, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. And same with Chiaotzu. Yeah. Who, as far as I'm concerned, as a new viewer, is also stuck on King Kai's planet.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that turns out. Yeah. I'm assuming no one stays dead. Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no real.
Mikey's just spoiling things left, right, and center.
Krillin keeps dying.
They find a way to.
It's not a spoiler.
I'm saying nothing.
Yeah, yeah. We said we're going to spoil shit at the beginning of every episode we make,
but not for him.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't care.
And I get too excited.
I know you don't care.
You're also not spoiling things so hard when I already have assumed them.
It's true.
It's very true.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying nothing else. You keep asking questions. I'm like, just
don't answer me if you don't want to.
You're going
to
watch it.
Yeah.
You're
going
to watch it.
Whether it's spoiled or not.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Okay, let's talk about Gohan. For me,
because
Gohan is continuing to like step his game up. Uh-huh. That I feel like that's kind of like this whole series is going to be him stepping his game up, and he's probably going to be integral in the last season in helping them win once and for all, if that even is a thing. And he has some like he's one of the only characters with actual character development in the whole show. Everyone else kind of stays who they are. I mean, aside from power levels, which doesn't count as character development.
Yeah,
he grows a little bit, right? Like even season one, he was just scared, whiny, a little piece of shit. And now he's brave and bold, and sometimes he's making moves where it's like, damn, dude, like no one is making those moves. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is terrified, and you're just like, get in there.
But it's rage for him, right? It comes from his anger.
It's emotions.
Yeah. And I mean, it lines up with him being also like the youngest character.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's going through the most changes because he's a fucking child.
Yeah. And also, another thing that is easy to forget is he is a Saiyan.
Yes. Yeah.
And right? And they have that energy, that kind of like need to keep fighting.
Warrior energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the nice thing too, like, and the really cool thing too about Gohan is when he's fighting, he also will click and subscribe in the midst of his fights.
Bro.
Every time.
Yep.
So like and subscribe.
Be a Gohan.
Be a Gohan. Be a bro.
A bro-han. But please do like and subscribe. Tell your friends. Hang out with us online. We love you guys.
I'm proud of that one.
That one was not your worst. I'll give you that.
It's a low bar.
The bar is low.
Yeah.
Okay. I know we should talk about Goku, but I don't really have anything new to say about him from a character perspective.
He'll come out in the plot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he comes out in the
plot. Everything important for him.
Yeah.
But the thing, too, is he is always a constant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's been like that since day one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get into
Okay, wait. Before we do that, how cool is it when he went Super Saiyan for the first time.
We'll get that in the plot.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we can talk about it now if you want to. Okay. It's up to you.
No, we'll get it in the plot.
Okay. Let's go. All right. Okay, so up top, we're like, as we established, there's no gaps between this season and last season, mm-hmm. right? We're right back in the middle. We're still in the middle of literally the same fight. Nail versus Frieza is still occurring, mm-hmm. right? Goku's still healing up in, like, what I call the back to tank because I love Star Wars. Gohan, Krillin, and Vegeta are trying to figure out how to destroy Frieza and kind of knowing that they're not going to be able to, and they're just kind of figuring out how to hold him off until Goku can come back. Mm-hmm. Bulma's still out there doing pretty much nothing.
Hell yeah.
Just chilling. Just having minor struggles.
Yeah.
That would otherwise kill a person. Okay. All the dead dudes are still watching like it's TV from King Kai's Planet, just kind of doing nothing. I mean, you assume they're training, although we're not seeing it this time.
No.
Yeah. And Ginyu is now a frog and is still hanging around. And he tries to fuck a pink frog at one point, which is kind of funny. Yeah. And that's kind of everyone that you care about, you know what I mean? Like,
off the top.
So we meet the Namek dragon, Purunga.
Purunga. Mm-hmm.
And like, why is he so beefy looking? He looks so silly, dude.
I know.
Yeah. Because
it's a bit much.
What's the other dragon's name again?
Shenron.
Shenron looks badass.
Yeah.
Purunga looks like he's on roids and like probably feels like he's on roids too, right?
Yeah.
Like he's...
Okay. I think that the decision was because Shenron is your classic, you know, Asian snaky dragon, right? Like we've seen that and we're used to seeing that, right? And
Purunga
so,
literally has big beefy arms.
Yeah.
Like he looks like a dragony genie.
I was going to say the genie aspect. And if you think about maybe some of the Middle Eastern influence, like on the design of the Namekians, the turbans.
Oh, interesting.
Whatnot.
Interesting.
Yeah. Aesthetically, it is kind of aligned a little bit there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I found it jarring. It was
it was exciting as a kid though, like because you're expecting just a clone of Shenron to come out, and then all of a sudden you get this crazy different looking dragon.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
All the kids on the schoolyard were talking about. Did you see the fucking Namekian dragon? Yeah. Holy shit! Well, probably in those exact words because we were just swearing for no reason at that age.
Yeah, I still
not
do
to
that.
Mention like you kind of expected it to be bigger because the Dragon Balls themselves are physically bigger.
That is true, but I would have expected more like fierce and scary and not so silly. I found him to be very silly looking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pretty badass.
I disagree.
Fuck you.
I think he's meant to look badass, being all bulbous and muscly, but I think it didn't come off that way for me.
Interesting.
Okay. So then you find out that on this planet, you can only wish for one life at a time, whereas before they could wish for a bunch of people back on one wish, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's a thing. Like on the Earth.
You could ask everybody who was killed by X come back to life.
Well, they do that with this dragon. No, wait. Is that Shenron? I can't remember. Later on, the wishing on the dragons, there's like a quick sequence of wishing on Dragon Balls.
I thought the deal was like this was one wish and Shenron was three. Was that am I off on that?
No, you get three wishes.
Okay. Sorry.
I don't know.
Shweebs,
it's
help
complicated.
Us out.
It, the whole thing is weird.
Shweebs.
And it feels complicated just for the sake of differentiating sometimes, right?
Yeah, it's a different dragon, different planet, different rule set. I always get screwed up on the dragon rules, though. Always.
I will say that, like, the genie of my childhood would never stand for this kind of wishing, dude. You can't wish people back to life. It's one of the three main rules.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can't wish for more wishes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They
never tried to wish for more wishes. I wonder what would happen if they tried that.
Yeah. Purunga just eats them.
Probably. Okay, so Piccolo gets wished back to life first because they can only bring back one at a time. And they're like, well, obviously.
He's the next strongest fighter.
So what they neglected to realize, though, is that he doesn't just show up right where they are. He's on Namek, but he's not on Namek. Nope. He gets wished back to life on Earth or something, right? So then they have to wish him to Namek with another wish.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing that happens by wishing Piccolo back to life is now Kami's back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Which is a whole game changer because now our Earth Dragon Balls, in theory, are back.
Are back as well.
Yeah.
Because they're two halves of the same hole for anybody who forgot.
Yeah. So two wishes down for Purunga.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And now Piccolo's back on Namek and he finds Nail somehow and merges with Nail.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so now he's just more powerful because I guess that species can do that.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's another introduction of a common theme through the rest of Dragon Ball as well is characters merging into one.
They call it fusion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They do a lot of like sharing energy in order for like moves to be more powerful, mm-hmm. but that physical merging of people is a little strange. Like, is Nail still in there? Or is he just like
yes
become
and no.
Yeah.
They are one.
They are definitely just one. But it's weird. Like it's a theme that we see later on too.
Yeah.
So just get used to it.
We'll see.
The mechanic will be different though.
Yeah.
Okay. The way the Namekians fuse is not the way that you'll see it later on. Okay. But like just that concept of two different characters becoming one to become more powerful is
all right.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have one wish left, and Vegeta is legitimately begging them to wish him eternal life.
Yeah.
He's like, give me eternal life. It's the only way.
Yeah.
It's the only way. Yeah. And as this is happening, I'm thinking, like, it might be the only way.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
It's not.
No. Yeah, no, it's not.
I mean, they're all still terrified of him because he's still kind of a bad guy. Yeah. But also, like, if the goal is to beat Frieza, like, that might be the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Trust me, as a kid who was a big Vegeta fan already.
Yeah.
I was right with him.
Yeah.
Do it!
Yeah.
Give it to him!
Yeah, yeah.
Because it does set up for a really good arc, like almost like his redemption arc in a way, but in an evil way.
Yeah, well, it's that anti-hero, right? Like, he's on the same side as you as far as the cause goes, but in like as far as relationships between people go, he's still a bad guy.
And yeah, also, well, in the long run, he'll help kill Frieza, but then what? Now now he's got eternal life, and he's not necessarily your friend.
Yeah, and you want to kill him, maybe. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's dangerous. Yeah.
Well, we all know that. Like, I align with Thanos, so
we've established that, you maniac, like
an evil, evil man.
Not even an anti-hero, just straight up villain. I might say. Yeah.
No, I think Thanos is an anti-hero.
Maybe you on the
a
other
villain
hand.
Would say that.
Yeah. why don't they consider wishing like Goku back to health to come and help them? Like, they never even consider that. He's just sitting in a tank.
They know he's coming.
I guess so, but like they could use him now. Like right now.
Be a bit of a waste.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I guess in the end, their goal still is to bring everybody who's dead back to life.
Yeah.
And that they'd like to wish that if they could. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we get a bit of a background on Vegeta's story. And we learn about his dad, right? So Vegeta's dad was, like, working for Frieza, as all the Saiyans were. But he, like, rebelled against Frieza. And he kind of, like, led the resistance and died with all the other Saiyans, like, at the front line of that whole battle. And then Vegeta kind of gets captured and becomes an indentured servant to Frieza. Like, that's how their relationship started from the beginning, right? Like, he's, like, locked in a dungeon on Frieza's ship for a long time, right? And he treats him like a whipping boy, essentially. Which is kind of good character insight here. It kind of explains why he's a fucking man-child, why he's, like, a case of arrested development, because he's a kid, right?
Yeah, and why, and also why he has this entitlement.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because he's the prince. He's the only one left.
He's the last one.
And it was stolen from him.
Yeah.
He didn't lose it.
Yeah.
It was taken away from him.
Yeah.
So he feels entire race.
Yeah.
His entire race got fucked.
It's probably also the reason why he's so pissed off at Goku all the time, because he's like, you're also the same as me.
Well, he gets mad at Goku because he's like, what are you doing? You're not fighting for, you know, the redemption of the Saiyans. You know what I mean? You're not trying to get revenge. He's like, you're having fucking fun on Earth with your humans, these weak people doing that. Like, this is, you're not a warrior.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
Okay, so after we get that backstory, there's a shit ton of back and forth fighting. Like a fucking shit ton, dude. Frieza, Gohan, Krillin, Vegeta, and Piccolo are all kind of just going at it in various different iterations of those combinations, right? At one point, Krillin gets gored by Frieza's horn, like right through the chest. And Frieza's like licking the blood and violently shaking him around. That was jarring to watch, dude.
Yeah,
it was disturbing to watch.
No, it was great.
I mean, you're a villain, so you would like that.
No, it was, it's a freaky moment.
It's freaky.
It's probably the most like gore and like but you know, visceral thing we've seen.
Yeah, yeah. Think about the sensory overload. Like, especially as a kid watching that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's all you want. Everything's extreme and everything is like,
I don't know about want that violent, murderous death.
That's you definitely want that.
You did.
Well, come on, for that time it came out, like like, there was, like, no cartoon, no North America cartoon ever did anything
like
that.
You're right. You're right. And this show does that. It'll surprise you. It'll be, like, going in a way that's kind of, like, PG at best. Lots of fighting, but then every now and then something really, like, gory or drastic or super kind of disturbing will happen out of nowhere. And you're, like, you weren't ready for it.
Because
it doesn't build you up to it. It just happens out of nowhere.
I think it also did a good job, like, kind of setting the tone of, like, being a little bit nervous and afraid about every time Frieza was going to transform. Because, you know, he gets into that form and you're just like, it gave him something scary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because up until that point, he's scary as in like, he's obviously very powerful, but like he doesn't have a lot of physical imposing presence.
Well, not until he like beefs up.
That's what I mean. Yeah. He gets in the form when he stabs Krillin is his biggest, beefiest form. You know what I mean? But like, I feel like Frieza kind of needed that, like...
He needed a murder to make him scary.
That scary edge where he's not just sitting in his chair going zap.
Like he's not to mention his voice is kind of jarring too.
It's weird,
but it's not tough sounding, right? You're right. You needed to make him scary somehow.
Yeah.
I like that juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because it's
you get it back in his final form.
Yeah.
Right.
And you do get it back.
He comes right back to it.
Okay, so we're still in back and forth. Gohan starts landing blows, and he's like doing pretty good for himself. And while this is happening, Vegeta thinks to himself, like, this kid might be a Super Saiyan. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time we've heard that term, which was interesting that it was about Gohan, of all people, because we know who the first Super Saiyan is that we see in the show. And we'll get there. So then Krillin somehow gets healed. Dende, I guess, heals him up, right? And he throws a Destructo Disc and cuts off Frieza's hentai tail.
Also, then, Destructo Disc, man.
Yeah.
Such a hilariously awesome move because, like, it's possible to do to even some of the lowest level, like, characters in the entire show, but it's, like, super OP attack.
Yeah.
Like, it ignores how powerful the enemy is, basically.
I guess it's, like, just right really sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a fucking, like, circle saw, man. Like, just cuts anything.
But I just like, you know, he'll shoot like an energy beam and it won't even make a mark on Frieza, but for whatever reason, Destructo Disc.
That's his specialty.
Will fucking slice him up. It's awesome.
I actually kind of, I said this I think in the first episode, I kind of still like Krillin.
Yeah.
I like him. I think he's my guy.
Yeah.
If I were going to have a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which means you're my guy, Krillin.
You know what? Honestly, if later on, if I'm Krillin... I don't mind.
You got real
he
mad.
Gets 18, and Mikey loves 18.
Exactly.
I fucking know you, dude.
Yeah.
I know you got them so well. Jordy doesn't get it, but...
I know you're a dirty boy, so I make assumptions. I make assumptions. Okay, we get a Piccolo Frieza fight scene that is really sick in this back and forth. And it had to be, because until Goku shows up, Piccolo's the strongest fighter.
Yeah.
And that fight scene was like... pretty fucking dope, dude.
Yeah,
pretty dope.
And I'm glad you got that as well, because like if the nail fusion resulted in just like Piccolo getting like fucking wiped, that would have been a little anticlimactic. I mean, he kind of does in the end, but like, you know,
it was good. It was a good leveling up, and that's the thing too. And I had a thought when I noted that too, is that like I feel like I've said that before in the show, like this is the best fight scene we've seen yet, which is a good sign that the show is leveling up. They're they're doing that to me over and over again, not blowing their load in the first season with amazing fight scenes, right?
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. So now we're still in the back and forth, which is the majority of this season, and Vegeta's begging for Krillin to murder him. So he can come back to life stronger.
Yeah.
Like, that's just such a strange thing to gather. Because he thinks Dende will heal him, right?
Yeah.
He's like, murder me, have this little shit heal me, and then I will fuck Frieza up for you.
Yeah.
But then Dende, of course, can only heal people who have a good heart.
I knew that mechanic was going to drive you fucking crazy.
It hurts me so deeply when they use that kind of explanation.
Yeah.
I
can't do it, guys. I'm sorry. It's okay. It's okay.
Is it?
Yeah, it is, because you can just accept everything. That's
you sound really confident in your accepted speech this time, buddy.
In this.
Another thing, question
just,
I had is
just
like,
believe in the spirit bombs.
I don't even know what to say about a spirit bomb, dude. We'll get to that though in a minute.
Yeah.
Here's another thing. Question I have: why not just send Dende to Goku?
Get over there now. He's sitting in a tank.
I think they just think the tank's got it under control.
Yeah. But it's taking fucking forever, dude.
Yeah.
But well, they're expecting it any second.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess
so. Yeah, the length of things take, yeah.
Yeah, that's the gripe with the original series. But I also think, too, like, again, we've talked about serialized anime before. They have to have a way to keep it going, not to mention continuously bring in conflict.
Yeah.
And creative ways to bring in conflict, whether it be lazy or not.
Yeah.
Right? So. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. But still, it would have changed. I mean, it's the take the eagles to Mount Doom situation. I know you have words about that, but it's like there's easier ways to accomplish what you're accomplishing here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they just don't make for as good a TV show.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. But you need that drama. You need to hate a little bit of a show. I think.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. Right. Like any show that you put out there, even if it's like. If I gave a show a 9.8 or a 9.9, there's still, because we don't give 10s on this show.
Yeah.
there has to be something that's conflicting that makes you feel something that still brings out emotion, that even though if you don't like it, right? Like it's like,
okay,
like Game of Thrones, for example, like not after season whatever when it gets trash.
I loved Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but
it was fun to watch.
But what's the fucking Prince King that Joffrey?
Oh yeah,
like I love to hate that guy.
Yeah. That's different, though, because hating a character because they're written well is good, but, like, leaving holes in the plot because you need your season to fill out, that's different.
It's a different kind of hate.
That's a different kind of hate. Yeah, exactly.
you're still hating.
Yeah, but not in a way that makes me feel good about the show in the long run. Okay, so let's move on from this. And I guess we're still in the back and forth, and the last thing I'll mention about the back and forth of the fight is Vegeta gets fucked up by Frieza.
Yeah.
And Frieza doesn't look like he's breaking a sweat doing it. And this makes everyone scared. They're terrified. Mm. And meanwhile, we've talked about Goku. He's in this healing tank, and the whole time he's just thinking out loud.
Yep.
Like every episode, you get a little clip of him. And then suddenly out of nowhere, like without no lead up, he just goes, "Hey, I'm healed." And he's good to go.
Yeah. Yep. He just knows.
Classic. Yeah. So his return in this season, because you're going to get a return of Goku, I think, in every season. So far we have. Most seasons he's gonna get taken out and then return.
Sometimes. He's around for the whole thing.
This time it happened way quicker. The other ones it was like that's the climax of the season. Yeah. Both other seasons. This time it was like midway through he shows up again, and he shows up again like a badass, just kind of slapping away Frieza's attacks with no effort, which is what you want when Goku comes back.
He definitely got that Saiyan power up from being taken down and coming back.
For sure. They don't address it, but that's what happened for sure. Yeah. So anyways, Vegeta takes it to the heart. He's dead. Mm-hmm. Toast. Goku buries him in like a weird kind of like ceremonial situation. He's like, "No, I have to bury him." Meanwhile, like the scariest enemy of all is floating above
you. Still fighting.
Powering up. Yeah. And then there's a funny scene there, too, where on King Kai's planet, Yamcha from the afterlife just goes, "Vegeta was crying? That's whack." Fucking kill me, dude. Like, some of the dialogue, dude.
Well, some of you watched the dub.
I watched the dub, I'm sure it wasn't much better in the sub, but it was just funny. Yeah. That's his reaction to Vegeta dying. Yeah. Vegeta cried? That's whack.
It's classic Yamcha, honestly.
Okay, so Goku and Vegeta, or Frieza rather, are fighting off, and Goku flexes on him hard, and like he's going so quick, and he uses power moves now to launch himself instead of only as attacks, and he shows up behind Frieza and they make him look so tall and looming. I was like, what a fucking flex, dude. Mm-hmm. Huge flex. And now there's like magma and lava flowing all over planet Namek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so the planet is falling apart.
It's dying.
At this point, they also reveal that neither Goku or Frieza were, like, going full power this whole time. They're just fucking with each other. Mm-hmm. And as a viewer, I'm like, that's disrespectful to me, man. You know what I mean? Like, don't spend half a season on, like, the most epic battles I've seen and be like, just kidding. We're just fucking around.
You felt disrespected. You didn't feel even an ounce of, oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I felt. Like, I mean, they're also testing each other out, and like,
to be honest with you, I'm also getting sick of it at this point already. Mm. Like the battles last so long, and then to find out that the last section of it that was like really intense wasn't really even close to being it, I'm like, okay, let's go. You know what I mean? That's how I felt about it.
Yeah, adult brain, child brain.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
It's different altogether.
100%.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's also something to be said, like, when you spar with a partner, like, I know you haven't done any martial arts, but, like, like we've done martial arts, and, like, when I'm in a sparring match or whatever, you don't go full on right away. You want to test each other out to a degree.
I understand.
See what's going on.
I understand.
Right? Like,
you're right. As like, if I was in their shoes, it makes sense. You want to see where the other person's at before you start going at them.
Yeah, gauge your distances. Yeah. Figure out. Yeah,
I'm only saying as a viewer who thought we were watching the battle of a lifetime, culmination of this season.
It's a bit of a record
scratch. And then it wasn't the case.
You.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Anyways, and now that they're going full power, Goku's taking a beating now. Mm-hmm. The tables have turned. And I know he has to make a comeback. That's how the season ends. I'm aware even at this point. And then he lands some crazy big moves. He lands like a 20 times Kaioken, and it did nothing. And I'm like, 20 times is so arbitrary to then do nothing. It'd have no effect.
I know. Yeah. They're just throwing numbers around at that
point.
Yeah.
Not doing the math.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kaioken.
You don't need math.
Okay. All the dead dudes on King Kai's planet are training, and they all learn Kaioken, right? Mm-hmm. And at this point, I actually finally learned what Kaioken is, because before I didn't know what it was. It's less of a move and more of like a power-up technique
for your existing
moves.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that till now.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
They didn't explain it.
Interesting.
This time they do.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was just kind of assumed.
Nothing is assumed, dude. For me, I don't know about you. I feel like
he needs to be told
to an extent. Yeah,
he needs everything to be spelled out.
Yes,
G O K U Goku.
Oh, got it. So, anyways, they're all training on King Kai's planet.
Yeah,
and fucking Ginyu Force shows up.
Yeah,
dead on the planet. And I'm like, no thanks. Didn't need that.
Dude, I thought it was a pretty funny reveal, man.
I mean, it made me giggle to the fact that someone decided to write that into the show.
Yeah.
That's what made me giggle.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I was like, I don't want to see it, though. Like, it would have been funny if we brought it up and laughed about it.
Yeah.
The fact that it occurred in the actual show.
Even better.
Not for me. And then they, like, promptly get launched off the planet into hell. Run by those two gym rats again.
That's right.
Yep. And that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm like, honestly, they probably love it down there.
Yep.
Who knows?
They probably do.
They're weirdos.
Okay, so back in the battle, Goku's now gathering energy for a spirit bomb. But because Namek is so destroyed, there's not a ton of energy left on Namek. So he's gathering it from like nearby galaxies and shit.
Yeah.
Becomes essentially universal spirit bomb.
Yeah. And so, and also Piccolo, Gohan, Krillin, they're all like kind of throwing their energy into it as well. And they're trying to fight Frieza while Goku's powering up, right?
Give him the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then so he shoots the spirit bomb. Shoot, is that the term?
Throws it.
Fires it.
I don't know.
He shoots it.
Launches it.
Launches it.
And we get an impact, okay?
Yeah.
And it's huge and it's intense. And now there's a giant sinkhole draining all the water of the planet, further destroying Planet Namek.
The planet's done.
It's toast. Yeah. You know it's toast.
Yeah.
And at this point, we're led to believe Frieza's dead, and I'm not convinced.
Of course.
I don't think they ever meant to convince me, but everyone else in the show is convinced. And I'm like, am I smarter than all of these fucks?
Okay, think about it, though. Like, you just witnessed a huge-ass galactic spirit bomb crush this character and put a huge sinkhole that's about to destroy... Like, you think that somebody's going to come back from that?
They're just so confident, and, like... From their experience with Frieza till that point, I wouldn't be so confident. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Even King Kai on his planet is like, he did it! And I'm like, but you're omniscient and omnipotent.
Yeah.
How are you so sure? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird. But again, no one's doing the math on this show, except the Watchers. And then, clearly he's not dead.
Yeah.
And then he like ends up like throwing a laser at Goku, some sort of laser, and Piccolo steps in, and Piccolo's done again.
Yeah, that was like a death beam, basically. Yeah. That's like a one-hit kill, basically.
Yeah, and then Krillin blows the fuck up, so Krillin's done too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was upsetting to see, right? But at the same time, I know there's no finality to death in the show. So while the scene was intense, it was less intense knowing that I know Krillin's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, like, the afterlife's not that bad. It seems like a cool place to chill.
Yeah.
Like,
he's probably with all his friends.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Snake Road? I don't know.
That does sound like hell.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we get to what you really wanted to talk about, okay? Goku is filled with rage. He's losing his fucking mind, and he transforms into a motherfucking Super Saiyan.
Yes. Right? That's right.
This is the moment.
There had to be a little tingly feel go on when you saw that, dude.
I wanted it to be better than it was, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, it was cool that it was finally happening, but I wanted it to be more. Like, it was a little lackluster for what's going Super Saiyan is supposed to be.
You never see Goku that mad before, though.
That's true.
That was kind of...
Actually, I think you've seen... When we saw him mad before, he was really calm.
Mm-hmm.
This was rage. It was different. I feel like the calm is more mad. I feel like this was like enough. You know what I mean? He was more level-headed. I don't know. He was losing it.
Yeah. But you know what I think too? I think you're kind of spoiled in the fact that the lore of growing up, like we were talking about before, like knowing and kind of seeing the images.
The reputation precedes it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right? So I think it kind of took away from that moment for you.
It did. You're probably right.
You've grown up your whole life knowing that Super Saiyan was just some goofy thing from Dragon Ball Z for us.
It probably continues to happen as the show goes on. I bet it looks way more badass a couple seasons from now.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay.
But for Mikey and I seeing Super Saiyan like as kids, like that was like I was saying, like people were losing their shit like in the schoolyard. You know, you want to see kids losing their shit.
Yeah.
Super Saiyan was the biggest fucking deal imaginable.
Yeah, yeah. I believe it. As kids. I believe it.
Like okay, I said, so I literally tried to go super.
Did you go blonde?
No.
He does. Yeah. But that's kind of it. That's
no, it's not.
I mean, you assume there's more, and later on he fights and there's more, but the actual transformation, like, because Frieza's transformations are all very visual.
Yeah.
He just goes blonde.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
But I guess he's only part Saiyan, so like...
No.
He's full Saiyan? Right. Gohan's part Saiyan. Anyways.
He's full Saiyan.
He's full. So it doesn't matter who you've mated with. Like, if you mated with a Saiyan,
you're full Saiyan.
Full Saiyan no matter what. That's kind of like the...
Oh, that's weird.
The thing in
not
this.
Like wolf children.
Not like wolf children.
Yeah. No, yeah, like Gohan would be considered like a full-blown Saiyan.
Okay. Yeah, like
no shortcomings because he's part human.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Okay, so now he's Super Saiyan, and there's a massive like fighty fight going on, and he's manhandling Frieza at this point.
Yeah.
And then there's some weird stuff going on here with Dragon Balls outside of the fight. Mm. So Guru passed away. We glossed over that. We missed it. But when he died, which, by the way, of a broken heart... Sorry, like, please. Of a broken heart. So when that happened,
I almost spat out my drink.
Yeah,
I know.
When that happened, they lost the Namek Dragon Balls. Okay, so then they figure out this loophole. They're going to use the Earth ones, the Earth Dragon Balls, to now that Kami's back, to bring back everyone on Namek that Frieza killed. And the dragon's like, they're like, "Can you do that?" And he's like, "I don't know. Let me see."
Yeah.
That's how that goes. Mm-hmm. So, and again, at this point, I realize, like, okay, but not Chaozu or Krillin, because that's the rules of the Earth Dragon Balls.
Right.
So that's...
They've already been...
I know they're not coming back. Yeah. And in my head, I'm like, what kind of loophole are they going to find for this? I know they'll find one.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. And so Mr. Popo's now finds all the Dragon Balls. And my other question here is, like, how did they even scatter? Like, Kami comes back and the Dragon Balls come back with him, but they just come back... elsewhere?
They do that. They always do that. Every time, also when you wish, the dragon will go back in and then the balls will float up and then and in all different directions, they're just gone.
That's so convenient.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that loophole works. And now all of Frieza's victims are alive now.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now the Namek Dragon Balls are back because of Guru coming back to life from his broken heart.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his Dragon Balls didn't scatter. They're still in the same spot they were from before.
Right.
Which is like...
super convenient.
Also convenient.
Very convenient, exactly. And so they use them. They wish Piranga to come. And their wish for him is to transport everyone on Namek except for Goku and Frieza to another planet.
Yeah.
And the big dumb dragon at the same time is like, I don't know if I can do that. I'll check. And he pulls it off.
He does it.
Yeah. So then there's a big, huge fight scene that, again, I'm like not into at this point, man. I've had enough, man.
Come on, man.
A slicey disc that gets tossed.
Destructo disc.
And then another slicey disc. It's not, because Krillin's dead, unless Goku's throwing destructo discs too.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
They can do... pretty much the whole Z crew can do destructo disc. It's a pretty common one.
Okay. Well, Frieza gets sliced up by slicey discs, basically. Mm-hmm. And now he's in pieces, basically. And Goku blasts the fuck out of him.
Just disintegrates the remaining pieces.
Yeah. And he thought about not...
Yeah.
He thought about not.
Classic Goku.
But then Frieza said some bullshit to him, and he's like, all right, I'm going to blow you the fuck up. So he blows him up. And then Namek blows the fuck up.
Yep.
And while this is happening, all the Namekians are on Earth playing golf.
I was waiting for that.
Like, come on, man.
That's the one I was waiting for.
Come on, man.
You got to understand, man, like... They're trying to assimilate to life on Earth.
Don't you think they would be feeling a little solemn in this moment? A little?
But you know what? Or they're celebrating the fact that, you know, they can still live together and they can still be a race. And... I mean,
a little bit of both, but not playing golf levels of comfort.
Yeah, it was a little silly, man.
It was silly, but the show's silly and, like, whatever.
Whatever.
I could have not mentioned it.
Yeah, it kind of feels on brand.
Yeah. What's that?
It feels on brand.
It does feel on brand.
It does. You're right.
Yeah. And the Asians love golf.
Not as much as they love baseball.
Well, Japan loves baseball.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so and now we're on Earth. Everyone's saved. And Guru decides to die voluntarily this time. He's like, I'm good now. So he died from a broken heart, and then he died from a full heart.
Full heart.
His thing is he's got to be somewhere in between. Or wavers.
Yeah.
Yeah. A questioning heart.
Yeah. Questioning heart.
Bro, come on. So yeah, and then they use the Dragon Balls to wish everyone back to life. And Bulma like does a weird flirt with the buff dragon. She like tries to flirt with him for a second there. I forget what she says, but I was like, come on, Bulma, you can't take that giant beefy dragon dick. Get out of here. You know what I mean? And aside from not knowing what the fuck's going on with Goku, that's the end of the season.
That's it.
Now I know Goku's fine.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they left you hanging a little bit there.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's it, man.
So final thoughts.
That's Dragon Ball Z. Definitely, like, we got a little closure at the end of this season versus the end of season two. And like you said, treating them as seasons is only what we're doing. They're never meant to be treated like that.
Right.
So this is the closure of an arc, not a season, right? So I like that there was closure versus our last episode we did. Mm-hmm. There was a little less of what annoys me and a little more of what I dig, I'll say, in this season. The fights did get a little old. Some of the characters continued to annoy me in ways that they always will, I'm thinking.
Yeah. It does get better. Yeah. It does get better.
And aside from that, it was kind of a lot of same. I am getting used to the world and the mechanisms in the world now a little bit too, which I think helps.
Are you getting used to it, or are you just like accepting it?
No, I mean, I'm accepting it, but not by choice. It's just because I'm experiencing it so much that now I understand it. I'm ready. I'm used to it. Yeah,
like I can even tell just like the way you talk about like King Kai's planet and Kami and like the systems that are have been put in place. Yeah. You grappled with them in the past, and now you're good. You're like,
okay. So actually, when you put it that way, you're right, Mike. I might just be accepting it now. Maybe not voluntarily, but I'm being forced to.
You're not getting caught up on it anymore.
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
that's true.
That's good.
What about you, Jay?
Like final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Oh wait, no. Let's get your rating first.
Okay, I am going to give this again a one more. This show's gotten one extra point per season so far.
Yeah.
So I'm going 5 out of 10 this time.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. There we go. Five out of 10.
We'll see if it can keep stepping up one level each season. I'm doubtful.
I think it might go up and then come back down.
Yeah. It depends on which parts. But okay. I'm surprised that, like, at least him going Super Saiyan should have given you 2 points.
I feel like part of that was that the anticipation was bigger than the delivery.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the case there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I get it.
Sorry for being old.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
For me, this is like one of the most pivotal seasons of any anime show ever, in my opinion. The way that this particular season influenced other shows and the culture and
just us as humans.
I was going to say my whole life. Yeah. The way it just influenced my whole
literally
life.
Literally.
Mikey still tries to turn Super Saiyan on the weekends.
I want my aura to be flashing.
Yeah. So like the reverence I have for this is just overwhelming. Yeah. And I also agree. I think it's a step up in pretty much every single way from earlier on in the show. I don't know what I gave my previous ratings on these things, I would give this a 9 out of 10 this season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sheer importance, bro. Sheer importance.
Yeah. I don't have the frame of reference to understand its importance the same way you do.
And you don't have the nostalgia, which I have an overwhelming amount.
But it's not just the nostalgia for me. It's... And like you were saying too, Jay, it's the overall influence it had on every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
Maybe not every aspect, but a lot of it.
Yeah, it's pervasive.
Like, and not to mention like how influential it is for other animes that have come out and things like that. So I also give it a 9.
Right. Yeah.
Going Super Saiyan for the first time
is
the fucking coolest shit as a kid.
Yeah.
Like I just want to be Goku. There's so many times too where, you know, there's the debate who's stronger, Goku or Saitama or Goku versus Superman. It's like, and Goku was the measure of strength for so long.
It's just funny, man. I think we just approach things in different ways because I'm thinking of like, what's the equivalent from my childhood, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what it would be, but regardless of what it is, if I were to go back now and try and give it a rating now, I couldn't rate it that high. Because it's not going to hold up. And that's just the way I approach things, I guess, versus the way you approach things.
Yeah, but also the other thing too, Jay and I did martial arts, and he's essentially a martial artist. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of that, like wanting to be a martial artist too.
Yeah.
And all that cool stuff that comes with that.
Because I think there's just a lot more going into our ratings maybe than yours, right? You're going off of a watch through of this,
yeah,
fresh,
yeah,
with nothing really behind that. what's behind our ratings is more than we can say in the time we have.
Yeah,
it's true. I believe it. I'm just saying, even the, like I said, even the things that were important to me when I was a kid that I do have the frame of reference to understand the massive volume of what it means to me in my life, mm-hmm. I still don't think I'd be able to rate it that high now.
You can't
on
say
a rewatch.
That,
I can't. You're right. I just don't think I have that kind of viewpoint on things like that.
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Yeah. Once again, I hope, it makes me sad.
I hope you find some peace in your life.
Yeah.
I hope you.
That depends. What are we watching next month?
I hope you find your way down your own snake way.
Yeah, exactly. I hope you, you know, find your bliss. Maybe. Okay, guys. Thanks for coming.
Good a place as any.
Right, I'm with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks
for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching, guys. Sticking through this.
Yeah, and listening wherever you get your podcasts. Jordy, where can people find you?
I'm at Reaching In on Instagram, and I'm happy to tell you other things that I like or dislike if you want to know.
They don't.
Yeah.
You can catch me at hanger.91 on Instagram or hanger91.bigcartel.com.
Yeah, and you can find me at KoreanBBQ86 on Instagram. I've got cats. I've got toys. You might see some Dragon Ball figures on my Instagram.
He's got a lot of them. And we are Shmanime Pod on cross social medias.
Yeah.
You can find us at anyone, I think, that you are on. Mm-hmm. And Anime Shmanime on YouTube. And peace out.
Kamehame!
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Loud.